Next on Girlfriend.
And you stop and you say, okay, why do I really get mad every single time? I'm tired of being mad. It's not productive. You can have an open heart and find out what you want.
Welcome to Girlfriend. It's Relationship Radio Rebooted. I'm Jeff Newman from BDGX, and with us, Cynthia Chavan, our relationship expert. She is also a certified practitioner of NLP and hypnosis. She is a full-time psychic. She's also an author, and with her, John Miles, also a certified practitioner of NLP, her husband, and giving us great insight into the many topics that we discuss here on Girlfriend. Cynthia's book, 10 Ways to Get and Keep Your Man. Many of the elements in this book have been discussed here on Girlfriend. But today, Cynthia, I'd like to get into, of course, I've read the whole book, and I think it's wonderful.
Thank you.
And it's not for me, I understand. It's for women. And part of what you try to expose and explain and educate women is that it is for women who really want real and lasting change.
Absolutely.
And those changes, almost 100% of the time, come from within. Today, I'd like to discuss Chapter 3, which is about communication, self-communication. And on the show before, we actually did an entire show on self-talk.
That's right.
And I want to know if there's a difference, and if so, what it is, the difference between self-talk and self-communication.
Well, first before we get into self-communication, I want to invite you into realizing that the book can actually help men as well, because the changes that are listed in there are individual personal changes of development, and men and women can benefit by it. Although it is geared to women, because I'm geared to women because I am a woman, and I see it from a female perspective, it is also very helpful to men out there. Plus, you want to understand women, don't you?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why I see a lot of single guys, and not just metrosexuals, they're reading Cosmo, because what's on women's minds? Inquiring male minds want to know. But from the female perspective, the self-talk, self-communication.
Self-talk is your history. Talking to you in your inner mind. It's from your subconscious. It's from your experiences that you've had in this world. It's the thoughts of your parents and your grandparents, because energetically they will still follow through their parents. And it's talk of society and your coworkers or your people that you go to school with from childhood on.
Is it your conscience?
Yeah, well, you could call it your conscience, but it's not about right and wrong, because it could be very derogatory. It's not trying to lead you in a direction of right and wrong. It's trying to lead you in a direction of criticism. Self-criticism usually is primarily self-talk. Most people don't have very positive self-talk. It's an unusual situation. You have to teach yourself positive self-talk. But that's when comes from communication. Then it's not self-talk. You can turn your self-talk, that repetitive pattern, through self-communication. You can actually change your self-talk into a positive pattern.
Would a mantra or something, I'm thinking athletics now, that a coach instills in the players, focus, you know, golf, head down, you know, swing through.
Absolutely.
Is this self-talk or self-communication?
So when you're talking about a mantra is actually trying to take a place of some self-talk that's inside of you that's trying to keep you from a position of moving forward, where the mantra is trying to get you to move forward or direct you in a positive cognitive place now and here. However, you have that underlying self-talk that's always trying to bring you back to your original experiences things. So it takes a long time for a mantra to get through. It's best when it's mixed with hypnosis first or self-awareness first, and then a mantra afterwards. You can use a lot of things to discharge the energy of self-talk. You can use EFT. You can use hypnosis, EMDR. These are all different patterns that go into the subconscious and help you discharge the information and then realign yourself with a mantra that works.
I don't want to get off topic too far, but what I understood, what I understood a mantra to be is something that you focus on so that you can relax.
Yeah. You want what you're doing is you're hypnotizing yourself to something that you want to hear instead of something you've already heard.
And that's not self-talk.
No, that's not self-talk.
And it's not self-communication.
It comes from a desire to self-communicate. Self-communication is going into the self-talk and saying, who is doing the talking?
let's give an example of self-talk so people understand what an example of self-talk a typical woman might have.
Okay. Well, there's a good song. Yeah. Aren't you rich enough? Sorry, we'll edit that one out. But that's self-talk.
Rolling Stones, Beast of Burden. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. We're all a beast of burden to our own self-talk. Self-talk for a woman would be that, you know, you're not tall enough, you're not thin enough, you're not bright enough, you're overeducated for somebody to be interested in you, you're undereducated.
So is this the devil on the right and left shoulders, and are they battling in your brain?
That's a good analogy.
In a way, it is. Self-talk, in the book, we sort of talk about this very specifically. Self-talk can be overly negative, or it can be overly unrealistically positive, meaning I'm not good enough for him, or it could be he's not good enough for me because I'm highly educated and he's not. So there can be different versions of self-talk. But one thing that self-talk has in it, embedded in it, that we've noticed over the years is judgment.
Yes, absolutely.
Self-judgment?
Self-judgment.
Being judgmental?
Yes, judgmental. Judgmental of yourself, judgmental of others. This is the right way, this is the wrong way. But it always creates a conflict because there's always an opposite side within someone that says, but what if? The self-talk comes from the beginning of your life, okay? It's programmed in from 0 to probably about 12, where you're gathering all this self-information. Somebody says, this is good, this is bad. You have an experience with it, and then self-talk starts.
A woman might say self-talk from based on where that she comes from in a family, I need to be married by 25. Mm-hmm. Another family might say you shouldn't get married until you're 32. But these are all instilled self-talk. It's other people's tapes playing in your head.
I understand where it can get to the point of being unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see arrogance. You see someone stuck up or obnoxious. And on the other side, you see someone with low self-esteem. All of these things are probably because of the self-talk that has brought them to that level.
Right.
But how is it healthy?
Self-talk's not healthy.
It's not healthy.
No.
Ever.
Because it's somebody else's. It's somebody else's information that we ingested, that we put in there, that we measure ourselves by. And what we really need to do is to get down to, what do I think?
Yeah,
what
Cynthia,
do I want in my subconscious? What are the tapes I want to play?
That's where a mantra would come in.
Right.
A coach, to use the athletic example, a coach is giving you a mantra, a thought process. He's instilling in you a very specific
something that you
thing
want.
That's positive, mm-hmm. very positive.
That is expressive.
Self-talk has a layer of judgment. Self-talk, it's been in our subconscious for so long, we actually think it's ours, but it's not.
Right,
it's somebody
exactly.
else's. It's society's that I should be married by X, or my hips right. should be this size, or my chest should be that size. It's all of that self-talk.
Well, I should think this or that or the other.
Well, Bo, correct me if I'm wrong. Every bit of my personality has been instilled in me by someone else, and my interpretation of what they have said or done or acted
absolutely.
Toward me. So I guess not even in specific terms on how to get and keep your man, but how to live, how am I turning the self-talk into something constructive and healthy?
Well,
you have to turn it to self-communication.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So tell us
but
what that is.
Very important is that you start to figure out what you like and what you don't like. I just had a client just recently who had a criteria list of an individual that she needed to have meet this criteria in order for her to be
women
attracted to.
Women apparently
okay.
have lists.
Yeah. So she had this list. She had this list that said, you know, a man had to be X, Y, Z. Just recently, through hypnosis, she started to uncover what was important to her, and it was not necessarily on her list. So she got to start a new list, which represented who she is as an individual.
It wasn't her parents' list or her
exactly.
culture's list. It was her list.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it was different than her original list that she thought was her criteria. Not that some of the things didn't cross over, but it started to be unique onto her. What did she want as an individual, not what she was taught to want as an individual.
This is right out of Alice in Wonderland. We saw Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Excellent
and
movie.
It's very much about a young woman's journey to find her true self.
Yeah.
Now, Cynthia, I want to get back to self-communication, but with what you just said, do you find or have you found with the many women you've spoken to that in creating their own list, they become rebellious, or does their own list become the antithesis of the list that was instilled in them. You know, the classic example of someone who's been very repressed their whole life, mm-hmm. and been living in a very strict household, and all of a sudden they're out on their own and they OD on life.
You're right. And yeah. and they do both. And both are, that's the oppositional thinking. You have two sides of you in there.
Right.
One wants to rebel against the list. The other one wants to comply to the list. But it's all subconscious. It all comes in from the ages of 0 to 12. When you're in a very pliable state of hypnosis, you start to become less pliable after the age of 6 or 7. But you're in theta the whole time from 0 to 6 to 7. You're
these,
in that
these
state.
These are brainwave states.
Wave states where
there's been research that have shown that children are in theta or in certain dreamlike states. Their brain activity is a lot like being in hypnosis in
yeah.
very
mm-hmm.
early part of their life. And our brainwave, our majority brainwave states change as we grow. That's one of the reasons it's much harder to learn a new language, say, when you're 45, as opposed when you're 6.
Unless you do it through hypnosis. Mm. In which case, you can activate the same state of learning, which is why you can change through hypnosis. You're going back to the same state where you originally programmed yourself with self-talk. You're going into the same state as you were originally programmed in. And you can, self-communication is a very good form of meditation and a very good form of understanding you within the experiences that you had. So how do you do it? You go in and you start talking to yourself. What do I believe now as an individual? Why doesn't that allow me to move forward on that thought process? Now, why do I keep coming back to this?
Is that the first thing that one, I mean, those of us who are conscious right now, and I mm-hmm. have to believe part of our listening audience is, and not in any altered state, okay, or induced state,
uh-huh.
what's the first thing we should do to constructively turn the self-talk, turn all of the information that has been instilled in us into a self-communication that can take us to another place, a desired place.
Excellente, excellente. John has something.
I just want to, since we're in a radio station, I'm going to use a radio station analogy. Self-talk is like listening to the radio station. Self-communication is like calling the radio station and talking to the general manager. So the idea is that you're not listening to playback and thinking that it's yours. You're actually in communication with yourself,
yeah,
your true
and,
self.
And you can say, I want to hear this. It's like a call-in radio station where you say, I want to listen to this record, instead of just listening to anything that plays through your head.
But you yourself in your head is, in fact, Oz, and is
yeah.
you know, the man behind the curtain who's
yeah.
going to answer the questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
How do we... Again, it's easy to say, and a lot of times you say that.
The person that you need to speak to in order to establish self-communication, this is in the book, it's called the objective viewer, and we should probably talk a little bit about the objective viewer in order to introduce the concept of self-communication.
It's the side of you that looks at things from not a standpoint of judgment, not a standpoint of self-criticism, but awareness. We all have an objective viewer, and we're oftentimes objective in many aspects of our lives. Some people are objective in their personal relationships. Some people are objective at work. You know, I've heard many people say, well, you know, that's just the way business goes. Very objective. You don't take anything personal. It's not about you, mm-hmm. so forth and so on. And they're at ease with being objective at work. They can see it clearly. Well, that aspect of themselves that they use very proficiently in one area oftentimes lacks in another, and usually in personal relationships, because there's more emotions and feelings and need to be accepted and approved around it. So you take that objectified thinking, that ability to see, this is just an experience. What in my world keeps me from moving forward? Well, both aspects, what like you were talking about, there's a side that says, this is good, this is bad. If you look underneath both aspects as the objective viewer can and will, you'll find that there's a commonality between these two opposing forces or this self-talk that runs through your head. And usually it's a positive intent like safety, approval, love. And once those aspects come together and understand that they're not in opposition of one another, you start creating new territory called the self, who you are within the framework of all these experiences you've had. You start rewriting what the experiences mean to you.
Do me a favor. Repeat that for me on how the self actually establishes.
The self establishes when the objective viewer starts to take the two oppositional pieces of any experience, one that says it was good, one that says it was bad, looks for the common thread, the common purpose behind the experience itself, behind the opinion, behind the thought, behind the feeling, sees the commonality, brings it together, and says, just like in a negotiation, you want this and you want this. Now, how do we move this forward and create a new opportunity? Because you're a good aspect and you're a good aspect and you want me to move forward and you want me to stay still. So how do we bring this together? Well, we can move forward carefully. And it takes care of both aspects of yourself. And the objective viewer will do that.
I don't want to lose the objective viewer. I want to get back to that. But realistically, no one loses self-talk just by focusing in on self-communication. Am I right?
You change self-talk to self-communication through the objective viewer, changing the writing of it. In other words, it's
you're re-recording your tapes.
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
By self-communication, you establish who you really are, and then you re-record your self-talk tapes where you can be more objective and more clear and not judgmental.
Or emotional.
And that would be a continual process.
Yeah, but it's really simple after a while. After it starts rolling, it's like anything else. After it's 51% over a hump, you just start rolling downhill with it. It becomes more of a habit than anything else. When you see a roadblock in your behavior, or you go, gee, I wonder why I always get mad when they do blah. And you stop and you say, okay, why do I really get mad every single time? I'm tired of being mad. It's not productive. Mm-hmm. I don't get what I want. I don't get the intimacy that I want in this relationship because I always get mad because he throws his drawers on the ground. Why do I get mad at that? What is it that is creating my opinion and my value that if somebody throws their underwear on the ground, then I should get angry about it? Instead of just leave them there and let them pick them up themselves.
Give people an example.
So I'm using something common because it's over the common little things that you can explore easier. Mm-hmm. You know, most people want to look at big things, but it's the common things that create the big problems.
Which is why I mentioned that it's probably a continual process because every day I'm going to have a different conflict or a different situation where some of the information that has been instilled in me for the past 50 years is going to have to be dissected.
Uh-huh.
So
in communion. How about that?
Yeah,
instead
that makes sense.
Of dissect it, let's put it into communion because I think communion of our experiences with our consciousness today creates our new self-talk. Communion of our previous experiences that we have lined up minus the judgment, because observation will take the judgment out of anything. As we observe outwardly the world, we have judged many different things. I mean, tomatoes used to be poisonous. So history creates a bigger picture of any experience, right?
What makes this more difficult for some than others, the process?
Oh, they're addicted to being a victim or a martyr or a perpetrator or whatever, or they're addicted to their emotions, or they're afraid that if I don't believe these things, then where do I belong? I'm going to lose my family. You'll lose your family the way you had them, but you'll experience them uniquely from being an individual. And in actuality, you lose your family when you stay inside the self-talk, because sooner or later, you know, they leave and then you're sitting there with this image of the way life should be instead of your own image of who you are.
Have you experienced any women or men for that matter who actually don't know what they want, but don't actually know what they want? They don't have a list,
uh-huh.
But they know they want to get and keep a man. They know they want to be in a relationship,
right.
But I'm at a loss. Do you need that playbook? Do you need that map before you go on that journey?
Oh, no. Do you have to know why is what I'm hearing from you? Is mm-hmm. that correct? No, you don't have to know why. You just need to desire the change, and the elements come together to help you function and create a different reality.
What I'm really asking is the person who has been in relationships, has not been happy, has been down a bunch of different side roads, and the hands throw up in the air and say, I really don't know what I want.
Uh-huh.
But they know they want a relationship.
Right.
How can
they? They don't have to know that he's 6'2", 5'2", has lots of hair, bald. It doesn't make any difference. You don't have to know what you want in order to achieve a relationship. As a matter of fact, you can have an open heart and find out what you want by developing the same kind of consciousness, because you're finding out what you want, not what you've been told to want, but what you want. It's a discovery, and that's beautiful.
You're listening to Girlfriend on BDGX.com. Also, the podcast available on iTunes or at CynthiaChavan.com. Also here at BDGX.com. Cynthia Chavan is our host. This is her show. She's an author. She is a full-time psychic. How she has time to be here, I never know. She's a relationship expert. John Miles, her husband, and
it's because of my hubby bear.
Yeah, he's here. He drove her over.
Yeah, that's how I get here, because he helps with everything.
Time for us to take a short break. We'll be right back with more of Girlfriend. Welcome back to Girlfriend, Relationship Radio Rebooted. I'm Jeff Newman, and we're with Cynthia Chavan, Objective Observer. Let's get back to that premise, if that's what it is. That's back to that mindset. And how does that take a woman to the place she wants to go and become more involved in her relationship decisions?
I just want to real quickly just sort of jump in and help people envision what the objective viewer might be. Objective viewer has been called a lot of different things. Guardian angel, wise woman, inner guide. The objective viewer is your internal intuitive nature.
It's not really confusing to me, but the thing that I find hard to put into practical use is taking the self-talk and transforming it into the objective viewer.
Okay. Yeah, well,
I just think it's a difficult thing to rationalize.
Who would be your objective viewer?
It's me. It's my conscience.
That's fine. You can name it your conscience. And what you can do at that moment. Okay. You can name it conscious. You can call it your consciousness. You can call it
Sybil,
your big self, your little self, whatever makes you comfortable. Yeah, Sybil, that's okay. You know, what you do is you look at your self-talk and you say, is this congruent? Does this move me in the direction that I consciously want to go? And if it doesn't move you in the direction that you want to go, all right, meaning that, gee whiz, I would like to be creative. I would like to be paid for being creative. I enjoy being creative. Is it moving you in that direction? Well, this is just an example, because lots of creative people have this problem. In their self-talk, they have the side of themselves that came from their parents, most of the time, or society that says, gee whiz, you can't make any money doing that. You can't make any money doing that. What are you thinking about? You know, you can't support your family doing that.
I heard that one.
Yeah. And then there's the side of you that says, but I'm creative. I enjoy this. I'd like to make money at it. You know, this is, I'm good at this. You know, I'm really, this would fulfill me. And so you find yourself constantly in conflict for providing for your family and starving your creative nature and resenting it. And instead of joining the family and enjoying your creativity, because those two aspects of yourself are talking to you one side in one ear, if you'd like, and one side in the other ear. Well, gee whiz, you know, this sucks. I can't do what I love. It must be because of my family. It's not because of the family. It's because of the family inside of here, inside of the head. It's not because of the external family, like wife, children, poodles, whatever. It has nothing to do with them. It was wired in here by the original family that you lived with. Mm-hmm. And that could be extended family. That could be teachers, a guide, somebody that took care of you, a babysitter, something you read in the newspaper, society, you know, something you heard on television as a kid. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you look at this aspect, you say, well, why can't I make money being creative? Why is it an opposition thereof? And that, then you start intertwining your new information into your self-talk. Well, there are a lot of people out there that support themselves creatively. And you start talking to this side and this side, and you start negotiating, you look underneath. They have fundamentally the same thing. This person wants to be a good person, wants to provide for their family. This person wants to be a good person, wants to create and enjoy for himself or herself.
Why can't they do both?
Exactly. So you show them the sameness, the commonalities that they have. And the minute they're not oppositional, the minute they don't see themselves as two opposites, they automatically start a magnetic field that brings them together like heads and tails of a coin. They start to blend. You can actually feel your body electrically begin to pull together on two sides of any equation, of any evaluation, of anything that's not moving forward in your life. And they start to come together. And as they start to come together, they start to propagate opportunities and potentials. Well, it's your objective viewer that stands there that says, okay, what is our talk? If we know we want to move forward in a creative field, and we know we want to make money this way, and we know this is our desire. What are the parts of us that don't believe this is possible? And it starts the communication. The objective viewer is the negotiation between the opposites of the parts of you or the self-talk of you. And they come together and they start creating new ideas. And all of a sudden, the energy is released like a flow and the new ideas start to propagate. You start to design your own subconscious. You start to design what you're feeding back into your brain. And you come up with new ideas to make money in a creative, artsy-fartsy way.
Cynthia, we only have a couple of minutes. Can we target this? Can we focus this on relationships now? I know you do it in the book, but part of your hook line is, you know, this is for the woman who wants real and lasting change.
Right.
Okay, the desire to have that change, that's there. We take our self-talk, we make it self-communication, we have an objective viewer, we have a path, okay? Once we're there, we found the guy.
We can start talking.
Well, we can do that, but how do we keep him when there are so many ancillary aspects of the world that are going to influence thought patterns, relationship specifics, and everything that everyone goes through? I mean, we get and keep our man, and then 5 years later, we're divorced.
If you have self-talk in there. I mean, I'm not saying that it won't. Thank you very much. Self-communication. Renovated self-talk. Not if you have renovated self-talk in there that brings to you a different image of yourself and a different thought process of yourself, because then you won't be looking at him to fulfill the opposite side of you. So you're having a real communication with a real individual in front of him, and you're not going, gee whiz, you need to be this because I can't be.
Is interpersonal communication as important as self-communication in a relationship? The answer is yes, I think. But you're dealing with everything that's very internal.
At a foundation first to actually communicate with.
Right.
When you communicate, you have a foundation of self-communication. Then you're not projecting onto another individual the need to reflect back to you what you're trying to see in yourself. So you're not identifying that person as the problem or the solution to your own world.
Interesting.
One of the premises of the book, and this is something that I didn't quite get as a guy, and that Cynthia sort of had to elucidate for many months for me, was that women often find their own personal value within the context of a relationship.
So do men.
Sure.
And it also changes over time.
Yes.
Your value to yourself, your value to them, and then, eventually kids.
Say construct your value. Construct your value. Construct your talk. Construct who you want to be and what you want to experience in this world. And use the elements that you've gathered, because they're not bad elements. The self-talk isn't a bad element. It's just limiting. So it's bad when it's not together in the sense that it's limiting. It's just a limited vision of yourself, and it doesn't satisfy.
10 Ways to Get and Keep Your Man. It's the book by Cynthia Chavan, our resident relationship expert. She's also a certified practitioner of NLP hypnosis, a full-time psychic. John Miles, thank you both again for this wonderful show. Girlfriend, you hear it here on bdigix.com. You can also get the podcast on iTunes. It's Relationship Radio Rebooted. We hope you have absorb some of the information here today. I know I have. I always do. And I think it's great because it gets me thinking introspectively. And not that I ever think extrospectively. That would be talking, right?
Right.
Thank you, Cynthia. We'll talk to you next time.
You're welcome.
See you then.